first church service of the new year. We're getting a little late start this morning. We had technical difficulties. But if you would stand if you can, we're going to start off by singing some CD music with We Bring the Sacrifice of Praise. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifice. Sacrifices of joy, the sacrifices of joy. Amen. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. All hail King Jesus, all hail Emmanuel, King of kings, Lord of lords, bright morning star, and throughout eternity I'll sing your praise. Thank you. you and me. Amen. In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. In my home, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my home, Lord, be glorified today. In your church, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In your church, Lord, be glorified today. Be glorified today. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Please have Pastor Steve.
Birthdays to celebrate. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, and so the first one is Brother Bill Neal. Guess how old Brother Bill Neal is? 9 or 6, man. Today. 96. That guy's closing in on 100, isn't he?
Amen.
My goodness. Way to go, Brother Bill. All right. So that's today, 96. Anybody older than 96 in here? No? So he'd be the winner if he was here. Robert Tosh, not quite know how old Robert Tosh is going to be, but he's going to be his birthday's on January the 8th, Robert Tosh. So happy birthday, Robert, if you're watching online. And then Marcus Wooldridge, his birthday is on January the 9th. So there you go. There's your three. You got one more. When's your birthday? Tuesday the 5th. How many? Going to be 5? Woo! Mercy! All right. Huh? What do you say? It's a birthday soon again.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, talk to some of these senior adults. It's like their birthday's every other week. Them years start going like that, don't they? Amen. All right, let's sing them happy birthday, brother.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Many more.
All right, we got any children's church takers? We got some guys going to go. Amen, amen. All right, a few announcements for you. Just following the morning service, we'll have a short finance team meeting in the back of the sanctuary here on the left. So just a short finance team meeting. It's only going to be about 10 minutes long. Made some adjustments on the budget, and just need to go over that. We were going to try to have a members meeting on what would be the 17th of this month. We're going to forego that. This will be the last Sunday that we meet in person. For the month of January, we're going to go back to live stream services. The infection rate's going up. Hospitalizations are going up. My goodness. Before the Christmas break, Tomball High School and Tomball Junior High were just getting hammered with COVID. I can only imagine what it will be when they try to start back this coming Wednesday with all the travel that has gone on. And, you know, they told us to stay home. They told us to social distance. They told us to whatever, you know. Some did, some didn't. But now you got a new virulent strain out there. And then, you know, you got flu ping-ponging around. So we're going to take a path of caution and watch and see how it goes. And I'll just say this to you. I've got a couple of pastor friends. They think I have lost my living mind. And then I've got a couple of pastor friends that are doing the same thing we're doing. So, and then I've got some other colleagues. They haven't even gone back. We've been in person. They haven't even been back in person. They've been live streaming the whole time. So, don't know what to tell you. That's where we're at. So this will be the last in person. Hopefully we'll be back February, the first Sunday in February. Here in a couple weeks, if it gets really hot and they're running out of emergency beds and running out of ICU beds and all of that stuff like it got back a couple months ago, we'll reevaluate that. So the game plan is this. You know, out of 100 people, 15, 18 people get COVID. Out of the 18 people that get COVID, or, you know, some of those are going to end up in the hospital. The percentage of those are going to die. So the point is this. I don't know who's going to die. I don't know who's going to get sick. But what I don't want to see is the hospital so full. And then when you have a problem with your stent, or you have a problem with your diabetes, or you have a problem with a car wreck, or you slip and fall in your bathtub or whatever, and then you go to the hospital, you can't get treatment. So, because why? Because the hospitals are full with COVID, right? And so you do go and you get treatment and you end up with COVID. Yet it's just crazy, right? So let's take a step back, pause, see what happens, and then hopefully by February we'll be back at it. Amen? All right, I'll invite you to stand in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. We're in Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Whoo! And it'd be so good. Be so good to be back in the book of Matthew. I want to thank Brother Marco for covering the candlelight service. He did a phenomenal job. Amen. And I want to thank him for covering last Sunday. He did another awesome job. Let's give him a round of applause. Amen. Very good. Thank you, Brother Marco. And he's getting to the point where there may be a church come calling, brother. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, you start preaching that good, and somebody's going to reel you in, man. And hey, it's up. It's on YouTube now. You can't deny it. Oh, I didn't preach that well. No, you did. It was good. All right, Matthew chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. If you found that this morning, would you say amen? All right, the Word of God reads this. It says, when Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. And a leper came to him and bowed down before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go show yourself to the priest and present the offering that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy, inerrant word. And Father God, I pray that you speak to us and that, Lord, our hearts would be open to receive what you would have us receive today. Lord, may you meet with us today. May you minister to us today. Those that are watching online, Lord, may you be with them and anoint their time as they watch this service online. Those that will be watching days and weeks and perhaps even months down the road, Lord, I pray that you give them a special blessing, Lord, from this word and touch their lives deeply. Lord, we ultimately pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as personal Lord and Savior, perhaps they're religious, but they've never received you as Savior and Lord, I pray this would be the service, this would be the word, this would be the seed sown that would bring about fruition of salvation in their heart and in their life. And certainly those that are watching online, Lord, I pray that you would use this to plant another seed, that you would use this to draw someone closer to you, that you would use this, Lord, in someone's salvation. Lord, may it happen for somebody today. May it happen because they watched this service, listened to this Bible, and heard this truth. Lord, we're thankful for the gospel, and we're thankful for what you want to do with us and how you want to do it through us in 2021. We give you the praise and the glory and the honor that is due your name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the inerrant word of God. Well, my goodness, here we go. Jesus' touch is the touch of God. Jesus' touch is the touch of God. Just let that sink in for a moment. His touch to us is the touch of Almighty God. Now, as we begin this morning, keen sense of the obvious I have, in the midst of this pandemic, we have been reminded what? Don't touch stuff. What? What have we been told not to touch? Over and over again, we've been reminded not to touch things. Don't touch your face. Remember early on, don't touch your face. Can't touch your face now because you're supposed to have a mask on your face. Can't touch your face, right? But before the mask thing, don't touch your face. Don't touch your eyes. Keep your fingers out of your nose holes, amen? Don't be digging around in there. Don't get in your mouth, right? Keep your hands off your face. And friend, if I had a dollar, whoo, man, if I had a dollar every time I told my kids when they were wee little, when little Aubrey Lee was wee little, 2 years old, 18 months old, learning how to walk, going around, taking her to the store, you know, after she's, you know, out of the stroller and everything. If I had a dollar for every time I told her and Trevor and Olivia and Lillian, please don't touch stuff when we go in here. There are germs and viruses everywhere. If I had a dollar for every time I told them that, I would have a lot of dollars today. Amen? Might even be able to retire on it. Amen? That's how many times I told them. But let me remind you that as human beings, this thing called touch is one of the five senses we are so blessed to possess. We get to touch, friend. The five senses of sight, and then hearing, and then taste, and then smell, and touch. All of these senses are important to our existence in understanding this world that is around us. And while they're all important, and I wouldn't want to lose any of them, I wouldn't want to be without any of my five senses, the sense of touch is one that places us in direct contact with our world. When we touch something, when we put our hands on, our fingertips on it, our lips on it, our heads to it, when we touch something, we are becoming intimately involved with that thing. During COVID, some of the indications of the virus are a loss of smell and taste. And praise God that for most, that quickly comes back. But there are some that have had the COVID that I personally know that their taste and smell has not come back yet. And certainly we have heard of people losing some or all of their other senses due to disease or due to injury, but I've never heard of a person losing their sense of touch. Even the quadriplegic, even the one that is paralyzed in the wheelchair, even they can still use their faces and their lips to touch their world. The sense of touch is probably a sense we take for granted. But can you imagine not being able to touch your world? Man, I can't wait when this is all said and done, all the COVID's over, I'm going to go to the grocery store, and I'm going to take my hands, and I'm going to rub them all over everything. I'm going to touch that, right? Then I'll probably get some hand sanitizer out. But it's going to be great, isn't it? Amen? It's good. Hugs, right? Hugs, there you go. Outside of a pandemic, when things are kind of normal, we all touch hundreds of things every day. Every day we touch hundreds of things. Most we do not even think about. But there are times when we reach out and we deliberately touch objects because we want to connect with that object or we want to connect with that person. Our touch might be that of love, or our touch may be that of passion, or it may be of tenderness, or our touch may be of compassion, or it may be a touch of help, or it may be a touch of deliverance, or a touch of curiosity. And this is just to name a few. We could go on and on and on. And often our touch can affect change in the objects we touch. The human touch is something, however today, as I begin to talk about this, there's a touch that is far superior to that human touch. And it's the touch of who? The touch of Christ. And as I began with you, when we talk about the touch of Jesus, we are really talking about the very touch of God. God touches us. When the Godhead extends a hand into your life and purposefully touches you, He will produce change in you that no other touch can duplicate in your life. So this morning, we want to look at that process. We want to kind of dissect that process of how the Godhead touches us. Now, let's be honest, let's be real, let's be genuine here. When we talk about being touched by Jesus, we're really talking about being touched by the person of the Holy Spirit. I mean, Jesus has ascended. He's at the right hand of the Father, right? The Holy Spirit has come. And so when we are touched by God, if we want to say it that way, we've been touched by the Holy Spirit. Here in the first century, during Jesus' earthly ministry, He actually laid hands on people. And one day, when we see Him in glory, He'll lay His hands on us as well. So it's going to be great, good, awesome. What a blessing, amen, to get to go to heaven, have a glorified body, and meet the Master, meet the Maker, meet the one that touched all of these people here in the New Testament, and have those hands touch our hands, and have those hands embrace our back, and have those hands hold our faces, right, as He gazes into our eyes and tells us how much He loves us. Amen? So, three things I want to share with you about these verses this morning. Number one, Jesus receives anyone. He receives anyone in need of a touch who comes in faith. Look at verses 1 and 2. When Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed Him. Verse 2, and a leper came to Him and bowed down before Him and said, "Lord, if You're willing, You can make me clean." Right off the bat here, I mean just right at the beginning here, we see a huge illustration of need. And what we got to get, understanding the context of where this is at in Matthew's gospel. Remember, we just finished the Sermon on the Mount 5, 6, and 7. Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Chapter 5, 6, and 7. Remember that the Sermon on the Mount is like a 3-chapter parenthetical statement in Matthew's gospel. So as we begin chapter 8, we're really picking right back up here at chapter 4, if you'll turn your Bibles back to Matthew chapter 4, we're really picking right back up at 4:23 through 25. The Word of God reads in 4:23 through 25. It says, Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. The news about Him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to Him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and He healed them. Large crowds followed Him from Galilee and the Decapolis in Jerusalem, Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. What does chapter 5, verse 1 say? When Jesus saw the crowds, He said, man, I got to have a break. And so that's why He went up on the mountain after He sat down. His disciples came to Him, verse 1, Matthew 5, and He began to teach them. Well, the teaching's over, 5, 6, and 7's over. He's now come back off the mountain. His disciples are following Him. This great multitude is now surrounding Him. The sight of this great multitude is what prompted Him to go up on the mountain and preach this sermon to His disciples. And clearly, many of these same people also followed and heard that sermon. And so when He's now coming back down the mountain, a great multitude of people again was all around Him, perhaps even pressing in on Him. You know, you healed people before You went up there. We followed You up there. You taught a really long sermon. I mean, my pastor preaches long, but Jesus, that was a long sermon, right? And now you're done, and you've come back down, and guess what, Jesus? We want just what You were doing before You went up on the mountain. And so I can just imagine people pressing in on Him. And then, as they surrounded Jesus, I picture in my simple mind that some kind of commotion broke out within this great multitude. People within the crowd suddenly began to part like the Red Sea, right? I mean, like a zipper. People splitting from one side to another, opening up a pathway, making a wide space between them and this poor diseased man with leprosy. Nobody wanted to touch that guy. Nobody wanted to be around him. This man came in need, shouting. He would have to shout as a Jew with leprosy. He would have to shout, unclean, unclean, as he approached Jesus, at groping and dragging his limped up and ulcerated body towards Christ. Here he comes. He's making his way through the crowd to Jesus. And these folks had just heard this Sermon on the Mount. And even in the midst of that, there were probably some cries and some shouts and some angry murmurs. Unclean! Go away! Lepers not allowed! Sure, they were pretty stirred up, right? I mean, it would be like somebody with a big old nasty wet cough coming into a crowd right now, and they're taking their mask off, right? And I mean, they're just hacking up stuff left and right. Those of us, what would we do? Hey, whoa, man, what are you doing, right? Well, multiply that tenfold. This guy's, he's a leper. So he's got all kinds of missing digits on his hands. And missing digits are perhaps a half foot or a whole foot on one of his legs. He's able to navigate. Is he on crutches? Is he on a cane? I don't know. But can you imagine the smell? The rotting flesh, the diseased flesh, the bacteria. Perhaps there's some maggots in there somewhere. Am I painting a pretty decent picture? The rest of the crowd is splitting, and they really don't want this guy around. Does that make sense? But he's coming towards Jesus nonetheless. His sudden presence rudely interrupted the scene. No one wished to be near him because he was an outcast. He was a dreaded leper. Now, leprosy is basically a disease that ultimately affected the nerve endings in the skin. So you couldn't feel, but you could still move. And so what would happen was you would injure yourself, and you couldn't go down to the pharmacist and get some triple action antibiotic. You just kind of had to roll with it, right? You would injure yourself. You would cut yourself. You would begin to get these ulcerations on your skin, which would turn into then infections, and then would then morph into other diseases, which led to a long, drawn-out, suffering way to die. Yeah. A leprous man would be the closest thing we could think to of the walking dead. The walking dead. Now, Luke, who was a doctor, in his gospel, in Luke chapter 5, verse 12, he tells us that this particular man was covered with leprosy. So he doesn't have a light case. He's not a newbie with it. He's at the end stages of his leprosy. He's probably just about to the point where he can't navigate anymore. He's getting to the point where he's going to be bedridden. We can interpret that from what Luke says, that he's got it from the bottoms of his feet, if his feet are still there, all the way to the top of his head. Luke says he is covered with leprosy. Now, whether or not the poor man in our passage was leprous as a direct result of judgment for his own personal sin is something we cannot know. It doesn't tell us anywhere in the biblical record. But we can say is that leprosy was just one more manifest product of the sin of our first father, Adam. Remember what God said to Adam? You're going to die, right? Well, this is just a way to die, leprosy. And we can say leprosy serves as a vivid picture of uncleanness before God because of sin. We can say that. We don't know exactly how and why he's got it. He may have had leprosy because of somebody else's sin. I mean, sin brings upon death on us all. We don't know that for sure. But this illustration of leprosy, what does it do? It represents our need as sinners. Our need as sinners. Now, we're all in need of what? We're all in need of God's grace. We're all in need of God's compassion. We're all in need of His mercy, no matter who we are. And this passage teaches that He will not turn us away. But instead, God, through the person of Christ, is very glad to receive us and help us, no matter how dirty or unclean or sinful we may be. This man's outward defilement is only an illustration of the much more real and substantial defilement that we all experience because of our sin before a holy God. This man, eaten up with leprosy, simply looked on the outside what we look like in our spirits before God, before coming to Him for salvation. What he looked like is what an old, dead, rotten spirit looks like in somebody who hasn't been touched by Christ. That's simply what it is. This leprous man's actions, when we talk about this illustration of need, this leprous man's actions and his faith is what is so shocking here. I mean, if you don't get anything, get this guy. He wanted to be touched by Christ, and nothing or no one was going to stop him. If you don't get anything, get that. I mean, that's just where the story comes down. His coming to Jesus within the crowd was certainly not the cultural norm. Again, he would have to say unclean, unclean. And that is what makes this poor man's faith so astounding, was the fact that he would even go into a crowd. First, notice the simple fact that the man approached Jesus. I have here this morning, I have faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I believe that he had heard about Jesus, about how Jesus healed all kinds of sicknesses, all kinds of diseases, and how others had brought folks to Jesus that needed healing, right? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. This man has great faith. This diseased man ignored all the reasons, all of them that might keep him away. The shame and the humiliation, he ignored it. The public rejection he might experience, he ignored it. The sense of cultural norms that he might violate, he did not care. And he came to Jesus anyway, right? You know, I guess early on in my ministry, I used to beg people to come down the aisle and get saved. I don't do that much anymore. The Holy Spirit's not convicting you. I'm not the Holy Spirit, right? Holy Spirit's convicting you. You'll what? You'll walk the aisle. You will come to Jesus, friend. You will grovel at His feet. You will seek to be saved. There is no man that needs to convince you. All they have to do is tell you the gospel message, and the Holy Spirit does the rest, right? Doesn't have to be in an emotional appeal. Don't have to talk about small dying puppies or anything like that, or little kitty cats in the rain that need help. You don't have to talk about any of that. Just preach the gospel, and if the Holy Spirit's going to convict that person of salvation, the Holy Spirit will convict that person of salvation. And you cannot stop them. Once they have been convicted in their spirit, once they know in their heart of hearts that they are a sinner in need of a Savior, it is on, right? And they're gonna find out how to connect the rest of the dots of praying to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, of expressing their faith in Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. See, no one brought this guy. In the biblical record, we don't have any record of it. No one encouraged him, except perhaps Jesus' truth. He came alone, right? But nothing was more important to him than that he come. Because he believed that Jesus could heal. Number one, he came. Secondly, Jesus receives, first of all, first big point, don't want to confuse you, my oldest daughter who's in college says, you really give a lot of points. I need a PowerPoint. I need you to write. Okay, so I don't want to confuse you. Number one, we said Jesus receives anyone in need of a touch who comes in faith, right? Amen? And I'm on a sub-point list. I'm talking about what? I'm talking about how this guy came. How did he come? First of all, he came in what? He came in faith, right? Second, he came reverently. The Word of God talks about how he bowed down before him. The Bible tells us that he came and worshiped Jesus. Can you imagine in his physical state? Can you imagine what he smelt like? Can you imagine the people looking on at disgust at him? And he blocks all of that out. And he bows down and he worships Jesus. Can you imagine the pus coming off of him as he kneels on the ground? And the stank and the stench as it just kind of drops off around him? I mean, leprosy is an awful way to die. And he's covered with it, as Luke tells us. The Bible tells us that he came and he worshiped Jesus. The man came to Jesus with a genuine sense of reverence in that he called Jesus in this passage. He called him Lord. And the word in the Greek means master. That's how he approached Jesus. This man knew Jesus to be the what? He knew him to be the Son of God in human flesh. Thirdly, the leprous man acknowledged Jesus' power. He says, "You can make me clean." Made clean. Amen? That's a good term, isn't it? Made clean is how a healing from leprosy was described. I mean, you can see in your mind how dirty a leprous man would look, right? Clean, right? Because the one who had leprosy was ceremonially and socially unclean. He couldn't go to the temple. He couldn't go worship as a good Jew, right? And he couldn't be around his immediate family. We think we got it tough now with COVID protocols, you know, stay with your own group, right? These people that are in the hospitals with no what? No loved ones. They know a little bit of what's going on here, right? They'll be in the hospital for a week, 2 weeks, 6 weeks, perhaps some be in the hospital for months. That Lolly Jean we've been praying for at First North Houston, she's finally out of the hospital, praise God, amen. She was in there forever and a day on a ventilator with the COVID, finally out, beginning to heal up. It's been a long, long turn, right? But imagine those people in those COVID wards and those COVID units. They press the call button and nothing. Nobody comes. Nobody comes. Hey, it's gotten so bad, we can't even come in and treat you. Instead of me coming in wrapped up in a rubber glove with a face mask on and holding your hand while I've got your loved one on FaceTime as you die, guess what? We can't do that anymore. We're treating people out in the parking lot. We're treating people in the parking garage. We just got to what? We got to give you some morphine. We got to give you some oxygen, and we're gone, right? If it ever gets that bad, pray it doesn't. That's what the leper felt. Totally alone. Could see people off in the distance, but never could get close to anybody because he had to say what? Unclean. Unclean. And if he got too close, what would people do? They'd pick up a rock and throw it at him. So here he is. He's making his case. The leprous man acknowledging Jesus' power, saying, "You can make me clean," right? Acknowledging Jesus' power. By acknowledging Jesus' power, the man was saying Jesus had the power, that Jesus had the authority to completely heal him and make him clean, not only physically, but also ceremonially before God and man. Finally, notice how he comes, because Jesus receives him here. Jesus receives anyone in need of a touch who comes in faith. Finally, also notice that the leprous man left the matter to Jesus' will. This is somebody who's got great faith. This is somebody who's got great faith. I've only met a couple of people with faith like this. Lord, if you're willing, heal me. Most people just say, Lord, heal me. This guy says, no, you're sovereign. I'm not. Lord, if you are willing, heal me. He didn't come demanding of Jesus because he had no right to demand of Jesus, right? Let me ask you the question. When you got saved, right? When you exercised your faith in Jesus Christ, was it a demand or a plea? Kind of a plea, wasn't it? You didn't stand up in pride and arrogance and say, Jesus, I demand you save me of my sin. No. You didn't do it that way, did you? No. You were more in a prostrate mindset. You might have been on your knees. You might have been on your face before Almighty God. You might have been sitting in a pew. But you certainly were not in a position of pride demanding. You were pleading. You were asking, right? And you were hoping, weren't you, that He would save you? Praise God, His Word says He will. Amen. Still does, right? Lord, if you are willing. The leper did not come demanding a healing of Jesus because he had no right to demand one. He came boldly. He came reverently, worshiping Jesus and acknowledging His power. But he also came humbly, leaving what? Leaving the matter of his healing to the Savior's sovereign will. Let me give you the application here before we move on. God is showing us through this man's story how to bring our needs to Jesus. How do we bring our needs? Just like this guy brought his needs. That's how we bring our needs. And he's also showing us that when we come in this way, Jesus does what? He gladly receives us. He will never turn anyone away who comes to him in the faith of this simple leper. Never will he turn you away. When you come like this guy, Jesus is going to hear you, friend. Never going to turn you away, right? Number two, Jesus receives anyone in need of a touch who comes in faith. Number two, Jesus is willing to meet needs after the appropriate approach, right? Verse 3, let's look at it. Verse 3, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. It's amazing, isn't it? That's a remarkable thing. Because in those days, no one did what? No one touched a leper. Why would you want to touch a leper? Didn't your mom and dad tell you them things? Them people are nasty. They are gross and disgusting. Have you looked at that guy? Have you seen him from a distance? You don't want to touch that. Not only that, we don't know if this is catching. Don't be around the leper. I know you got to go by that leper colony. You go way out of the way if you got to go around there. Don't you go anywhere near those leper folks. Don't touch them. Don't look at them. If they come too close to you, you just turn and run, right? I mean, can you imagine how it goes down there in the young Jewish family, right? Remarkable thing, no one touched a leper. I imagine all the people moving away and around Jesus as this guy's approaching. I said they were splitting like the Red Sea. They're dividing, man. They like a zipper. They're just opening up, moving away around Jesus at a distance from the leper when this happened. They were already shocked by the fact that this leper would break into the crowd and approach Jesus. Doesn't this guy know not only is he a leper, but he's lost his livid mind? Doesn't he know he's not supposed to do this? But then to see Jesus reach out and touch the man, I can almost hear the collective gasp in the crowd. No. No. I can almost hear the collective, wow, what is he doing? Right? As Jesus reached out and touched the man. The Old Testament warns that if someone were to even accidentally touch an unclean person, such as a leper, then he himself would become unclean and guilty. Leviticus chapter 5, verse 3. And yet here Jesus, he reaches out and he touches knowingly and deliberately this leprous man. Now, some may wonder, because I kind of wondered, how could Jesus reach out to touch an unclean man and not fear becoming guilty and unclean himself? Simple. Once he touched the man and healed him instantaneously, he ceased to be unclean. Right? Can you imagine people going, he just touched a leper. Wait a minute, that guy's not a leper. He just touched. Did you see that? He touched a leper. Wait a minute, where'd the leper go? He's not a leper anymore. He's healed. Immediately, completely, amen? But even a greater question is why Jesus troubled why Jesus went to the trouble to touch the man at all. I mean, after all, our powerful Savior certainly did not need to touch the man in order to heal him. Jesus would go on to prove in the very next story that Matthew tells in verses 5 through 13 that he's able to even heal a man from a distance. That's what we're going to see next week. He could have healed this leper just by speaking a word. But instead, Jesus went out of his way to touch this man. Why? This touch was probably the first human touch the man had received in years. I bet it went past the touch, don't you think? Jesus touched him. Boom. Where'd leprosy go? Right? Digits that were not there are now there. Pus that was flowing is not flowing any longer. A stench that you could hardly live with was gone. The raggedy old nasty clothes transformed to new. His hair disheveled, now straight and clean. That frown, that look of help turned to a smile. I bet it went past a touch, don't you? I bet it went from a touch to a hug, right? As he embraced his Savior. You think? Amen? I think so. God is letting us know in this passage that if we will come to Jesus' throne of grace in the same way as this humble leper came, no matter how deplorable our condition, no matter how great our need, we will be coming to someone who loves us greatly and will receive us with great compassion. Friend, it don't get any better than that in the Bible right there. Deplorable, sinful, mean, crude, awful. We come to Jesus, we finally break. We finally figure it out. The penny finally drops. We finally see ourselves for who we are. Jesus doesn't turn us away. He receives us. He embraces us. He loves us. Coming to Him, we will obtain mercy. Coming to Him, we will find grace to help in time of need, because Jesus turns no one away who truly comes to Him on these terms. He receives Jesus. He receives everyone who comes to Him in such sincere faith and receives them warmly and tenderly and fully and compassionately. Finally today, number one, Jesus receives anyone in need of a touch who comes in faith. Number two, Jesus is willing to meet needs after the appropriate approach. And number three, Jesus is able to transform us with His touch completely. I mean completely. Look at chapter 8, verse 3 again. I am willing to be cleansed, and immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go, show yourself to the priest and present the offering that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now, there was no gradual, progressive healing involved. The man did not simply begin to get better, nor did Jesus tell this leper as he would tell 10 lepers on another occasion in Luke's gospel, in Luke 17, 11 through 19. What did he tell those 10 lepers? He says, go show yourself to the priest first and then heal them while they were on their way. Jesus didn't tell this guy to do that and then heal them when he was on his way. He healed this man completely. He healed him fully on the spot and before the eyes of all who could see. I'm sure there were some hotheads in the group. They didn't quite make the connection of the Sermon on the Mount. They were probably gathering up their rocks. You know, when the rabbi turns and goes, we're going to get this guy. I'm sure, man, they were warming up. They were getting ready to pummel this guy for coming into the crowd. Well, guess what? This guy's not a leper anymore. Put down the rocks, boys. He's not a leper anymore, right? Not a leper. It was only after the man was healed that Jesus gave additional instructions. Now, this question may be plaguing you or may have plagued you through the years. Why did Jesus tell the man not to speak to others, but to go directly to the priest? Why did he do that? Well, there are about four reasons I want to share with you why he did that. Reason number one would be out of reverence to his Father. Jesus' reverence to his Father. Jesus came to do whose will? The Father's will. He didn't come do my will or your will. He came to do his Father's will. So, out of reverence to his Father, Jesus, even doing so remarkable a thing as healing the man, was still careful to do what? To stay true to God's law. The law of God, given through Moses, states that when a man was healed of leprosy, then he was to go to the temple and show himself to the priest. And if upon examination the man indeed was healed, he was to undergo a ceremonial ritual of cleansing per Leviticus chapter 14, verses 1 through 20. Only after this ceremony had been completed by the priest could the man then be restored to the social life of his people, right? Only then. I mean, he had to go through the hoops. He had to go through the religious red tape, so to speak, right? God taught the Jewish people in Deuteronomy 24:8. He taught them this. He said, "Be careful against an infection of leprosy that you diligently observe and do according to all that the Levitical priests teach you, right? As I have commanded them, so you shall be careful to do," right? So what did Jesus tell them to do? Go show yourself to the priest. Kind of along the same line of this is what it says in Matthew 5:17. We've already preached on it, but the Word of God says this: "Do not think that I came to abolish the law. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill." Right? So Jesus was careful to obey all of his Father's commandments, even when healing this man. And he insisted that this man only obey God's commandments as well. Go show yourself to the priest. Had the man immediately began to tell others, he may have been so distracted that he might have failed to do as the law commanded, disrespecting Almighty God. God didn't want that for himself, or Jesus didn't want that for himself. He didn't want that for the man. Reason number two why Jesus told him to go to the priest and not be talking about it would be out of concern for the man himself. Jesus wanted to legitimize the man's healing and to show that the healing was genuine and complete. If the man simply wandered away without going to the priest, then there is a sense in which the man's healing would have been incomplete. We want a complete healing here. We want the temple to recognize the healing. We want him back into his family. We want him back, right? We want him to come back into the fold. In that case, no one would be able to say in an official sense that he truly was healed and could be welcomed back into society. There would always be a question about the healing. But once the priest had examined him according to the law, and once he had offered the gift that Moses commanded for his healing, then the matter would be settled in every respect. Reason number three, would have been out of concern for the priests. For the priest, Pastor? No, that's what the Word of God says. Jesus wanted the man's healing to be a witness to the priests themselves. He told the man to do this as a testimony to them. Let me ask you the question. How many leprosy healing inspections do you think the priests here in the first century were accustomed to doing on a monthly basis? How many do you think? How about zero? Do you think any of those priests that were practicing in the temple had ever done in their lives, or their father's lives, or their grandfather's lives, or their great? Do you think they'd ever heard of a leprosy? Why do we even have this, Dad? Why do we even have this law on the books? I've never seen anybody come in for an inspection of being healed of leprosy. Right? Big goose egg. Zero. We have no record anywhere in the New Testament before this healing that the cleansing ceremony for a leper had ever been performed in the New Testament era. This is 400 years. This is going on 400 years after the last book has been written in the Old Testament. We've had the intertestamental period of 400 years, and now we're in the first century. So it had been a long, long time. Had there been anything in the Old Testament, there had been a long, long time since somebody had come to the priest and said, "Hey, I'm healed from leprosy." Just didn't happen, right? If this man were to then go to the priest in accordance with the law of Moses and request they perform that Old Testament ritual for his cleansing, the priest would have done what? Would have realized that something outstanding, that something unprecedented had happened in their midst. These priests would surely have testified to them, to the rest of their group, to the rest of the people, that the Messiah had come and was now at work upon the earth. And then I think I've got one more reason for you. Reason number four. Why did Jesus tell him? What did he say? Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no one, but go show yourself to the priest and present the offering that Moses commanded as a testimony of him." Reason number four would be out of concern for Jesus' own ministry. His own ministry. Jesus wanted to keep his own ministry from being hindered. Jesus, you see, did not come to this world. I know we get a little confused sometimes, but he didn't come to this world to heal people of their physical ailments. Praise God when he does. Amen. Still does miracles. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But that's not why he came. He was certainly willing to do physical healings. He was certainly willing to do it, but that was not his primary calling. Jesus' primary calling was what? To seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10, right? And if he did not focus himself on his primary calling, he would have literally been healing people, what? 24/7, 7 days a week. Now, we know from Mark's gospel that the healed leper did what? The healed man did not keep quiet, did he? Mark's gospel tells us in Mark 1:45, "But he went out and began to proclaim freely, and to spread the news around to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere." Now, you got to see the sovereignty of God here. You got to see the sovereignty of God here. This is really taking pressure off of Jesus from healing 24/7. Does he still heal after this? Absolutely, still heals people. But what does he have more time to do in unpopulated areas? Preach the gospel. Preach the truth, right? Now, do we judge the healed leper? Well, I don't know. Who among us? Who among us could keep quiet after that? I honestly do not know if I could have done any better than this healed leper. I don't know. Go to the temple, have an inspection, wait several more days, and then be ushered in back into society, or go on a tell it on the mountain proclamation. I don't know. I do believe this. I believe we will meet this healed man in heaven, right? And he'll no longer be a leper, will he? Right? No longer be a leper. But I still think he'll be testifying of his healing in his glorified body in this place we called heaven. And he will forever be a reminder to us just how good our Savior is, even to a poor, filthy, diseased, needy, unclean leper. Amen? And as for us today in our time of need, remember, it's a proposition of faith. What is your faith like? And remember, how do we approach Jesus? How do we approach him? We do it with reverence and we do it with humility. Certainly we can come in boldness, but there's got to be reverence. There's got to be humility. And remember how willing he is to help. Oh, I couldn't certainly bring that to Jesus. I certainly couldn't tell him that. Friend, he already knows, honestly. He already knows, right? So just give it to Jesus, right? Tell him of the need, right? Oh, I've done all these things. It's just so awful. He already knows. Just tell him, amen? Yeah, just tell him. And don't forget how powerful he is to completely change whatever needs changing, to completely forgive whatever needs forgiving, completely heal whatever needs healing. He is incredible. I leave you with Hebrews 4:16. You know the passage, but it's a good reminder of how we ought to do this stuff. It says, therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What might you pray this week as you go through your week, as this passage has intersected your life? Well, you could certainly pray that God touches the health of this nation. You could certainly pray that God would touch the political atmosphere in our country. You could certainly pray that God would touch this family here or that marriage over there. You could certainly pray that God would touch this child here or that neighbor kid over there. You could certainly pray that God would touch this coworker here or that subordinate over there. There's a lot of things we can pray that God would touch. Amen. Do you believe He touches still through His Holy Spirit? Right? Do you believe one day we're literally going to be physically touched by Jesus? Amen. Something to look forward to? Hallelujah. Is this 2021? Did we make 2020? We made it, folks. Amen. So the new year ahead of us, something to pray for. Jesus' touch. Let's be dismissed with prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We praise you for it. Lord, we thank you for this story of healing, this story of grace, the story of mercy, the story of a great touch and a willingness to touch and a power to heal completely after the touch. And Lord, for many of us, we know circumstances and we know situations and we know individuals and we know families that definitely need a touch. And so, Lord, I pray that we would be a people of intercession, that we would be a people that lifts others up for your glory and for your honor. As you, by your Holy Spirit, touch the situation, touch the circumstance, touch the individual, and that thing changes, that individual is affected positively, spiritually, for your glory and honor. Father God, you are all powerful. And you give us this wonderful opportunity to be touched by you and to pray that you touch others. We praise you and we love you for that privilege today and for that opportunity. I pray today, Lord, that we would go in peace, that we would go in love for our fellow man, and that, Lord, we would go with a burden to lift others up, that they might receive the touch of Christ, and for some, the touch of Christ that brings salvation. Lord, I pray that we would be praying for those that are lost, praying that they receive you as their personal Lord and Savior before it is eternally too late. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for a time such as this. Lord, teach us and mold us and make us in these difficult days and challenging times. May we be counted worthy and faithful of the name Christian. We love you and we praise you, Lord. Thank you for all you do. It's in your name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Thank you all for being here today. Y'all have a blessed rest of your week. We'll not have Wednesday night except for live stream. And we'll be live stream from here on out for the rest of our services. So y'all have a great... Brother John's holding something up. Is that the plate, Brother John? Hold the offering plate. All right. Thank you for... supporting God's ministry here. You folks are dismissed. Brother John's got the offering plate.